Vishnupad, Paramahamsa Parivajarakacharya, Ashtotara Satya Sri Srimad, His Divine Grace, Sisi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Sri Prabhupada Ki Jai, Anantakota Vaishnavinda Ki Jai, Iskan Foundacharya, His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaura Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Tashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Purnamani. Namaste Sarasati Devi Gauravani Vacharana Nirvishesha Sunyavari Paschachi Dezatanya. Hare Krishna. One happy announcement before we begin the class. Today is Janaki's 12th birthday. Janaki is the daughter of Radhikesh Babu and Premanjali Mataji. Well, today's class is about Brahmachari life, so. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo
Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So we're reading from the 11th canto, chapter 17, text 23 through 26. So the word meanings for text number 23. Mekala, belt. Ajini, deerskin. Danda, staff. Aksha, bead necklace. Brahmasutra, Brahmana thread. Kamandalun, and water pot. Chatila, with matted unruly hair. Adauta, without polishing, bleaching, or ironing. Datbasu, the teeth and clothes. Arakta pita, without accepting a luxurious or sensuous seat. Kosan, kusagrass. Dat, carrying in his hand. Mekala jini dandaksha. Brahma sutra kamandulum. Jatilo danta dasbaso. Rata pita kusandadat. Mekala jini dandaksha. Brahma Sutra Kamandulun Jatilo Dauta Dadvaso Rakta Pita Kusandadat.
Rakta pita kusandadat.
Mekala jina dandaksha.
Translation and purport by disciples of Srila Prabhupada. The brahmachari should regularly dress with a belt of straw and deerskin garments. He should wear matted hair, carry a rod and water pot, and be decorated with aksha beads and a sacred thread. Carrying pure kusa grass in his hand, he should never accept a luxurious or sensuous sitting place. He should not unnecessarily polish his teeth, nor should he bleach and iron his clothes. Purport. The word adauta dat vasa indicates that a renounced brahmachari is not concerned with a glistening smile to attract the opposite sex, nor does he pay much attention to his outer garments. Brahmachari life is meant for austerity and obedience to the spiritual master, so that later in life, when one becomes a businessman, politician, or intellectual brahmana, one will be able to call upon resources of character, discipline, self-control, austerity, and humility. Student life, as described here, is far different from the mindless hedonism known as modern education. Of course, in the modern age, Krishna-conscious brahmacharis cannot artificially adopt the ancient dress and ritualistic duties described here, but the essential values of self-control, purity, and obedience to a bona fide spiritual master are just as necessary today as they were in Vedic times. So we can read together the next couple of verses. Snana bojana homeshu japo chare chavakrita na chinja nakaromani kaksopasagatanuhi. A brahmachari should always remain silent while bathing, eating, attending sacrificial performances, chanting japa, or passing stool and urine. He should not cut his nails and hair, including the armpit and pubic hair. Purport. Narada Muni gives a similar technical description of Vedic brahmachari life in Canto 7, Chapter 12. Of Srimad Bhagavatam. Text 25. Reto nava kreja tu brahma vrata dara swayam avukine vagasyapi tatasu tri padam chapet. Translation. One observing the vow of celibate brahmachari life should never pass semen. If the semen by chance spills out by itself, the brahmachari should immediately take bath in water, control his breath by pranayama, and chant the Gayatri mantra. Text 26. Agni akaya chanko vipra guru vreda saran suchi samahita nupasita Sanjay Dweyatavak Japan. Purified and fixed in consciousness, the brahmachari should worship the fire god, sun, acharya, cows, brahmanas, guru, elderly, respectful persons, and demigods. He should perform such worship at sunrise and sunset without speaking, but by silently chanting or murmuring the appropriate mantras. Om Agyanatimarandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Nilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So we're fortunate today here. This verse is on brahmachari life. We have three real life brahmacharis with us here. It's here in New Raman Reti, we don't have so much, except for our one stalwart brahmachari, Yamaraj Prabhu, whose health is not doing too well right now. I think we should all have a fatherly, motherly thoughts, well wishes, affection, assistance for Yamaraj Prabhu. In that way, serve the Brahmachari Ashram, very important ashram in ISKCON, always has been, always will be. It may be a little thinner today in some parts of the world than in the past, but essential nevertheless. Now, this description that we read over these pages, these verses today, is, in one sense, an ancient description of Brahmachari life, but in another sense, it carries the import of Brahmachari life even today. And that's pointed out by the translators of the first verse, text 23, when they point to the qualities of a person that develop by practicing Brahmacharya. Brahmachari or sannyas or grihastha or vanaprastha, all of these are not the eternal nature of the soul. They're not, they are vehicles by which we purify ourselves at various stages of our life. In this body. And so focusing on the good that qualities that develop from this, and I'll read them again, I think is the important thing when we look at Brahmachari life. And what I'd like to do today is sort of look around ISKCON and see how Brahmachari life is being practiced and taught today in ISKCON, read some quotes from Srila Prabhupada on Brahmachari life that I'll just select randomly, and then maybe pose some questions to all of you that might be challenging to us about Brahmachari life. So the qualities mentioned in the purport, first purport today, are character, discipline, self-control, austerity, and humility. Self-control, purity, and obeisance to a bona fide spiritual master. First, I'll start with a rather humorous quote from Jayadvaita Swami that contains a lot of truth when you think about what he said. In a Vedic conception, there are different vows of Brahmacharya that one can take. One can take a Brahmacharya vow for one's whole life or for a certain number of years in one's life, or even for one day, one can take a vow of Brahmacharya. So someone asked Jayadvaita Swami about that. Maharaj, what does it mean that one can take Brahmacharya for one day? And Maharaj, with his quick wit, quipped, yes, that would be the happiest day of his life. So, Brahmachari life actually probably is the happiest day of our life if we took it for one day. Let me just read some quotes from Prabhupada, and I'll put the year on them so that we can analyze if he changed his views over the time period that he was preaching with us here. In 1969, let's see, do I want to start there or do I want to start before? Okay. 1967, he wrote to Kirtanananda. In India, brahmacharis are meant for begging from door to door for the spiritual master. But in your country, the activity is not allowed. Therefore, some devices like selling the publications, recruiting members, inviting them to our meetings, and likewise activities must be taken by the brahmacharis, and that will be very nice. The brahmachari, 1968, in a letter to Shivananda. The brahmacharis, vanaprastha, and sannyasis are not supposed to earn money like grihasthas. To Brahmananda. According to Vedic principles, only the brahmachari, the vanaprasthas, and the sannyasis are recommended to take to Krishna consciousness seriously or get free from the problem of earning money. Interesting. The problem of earning money can, according to this statement of Prabhupada, be an impediment to take the Krishna consciousness seriously. Therefore, he doesn't include the grihasthas there. Interesting. And I'm putting these things out there just for thought and discussion. If you have some comment you'd want to make on any of the things we say here, then please feel free to contribute. In 1969, again to Shivananda, if you can continue as a brahmachari, then you can avoid so much botheration of worldly life. It's February 1969 to Upendra. I am pleased by your wish to remain as brahmachari, and if you can stick to your decision, you will be able to go back home, back to Godhead. Let's see if we can get some later quotes. See if Prabhupada changed over the time period. To Vishal, a friend in Miami. My best advice to you is that you remain like Narada Muni, the perfect brahmachari, lording all over the universe and chanting the Lord's name. Yeah, he's followed that instruction. Okay, here's 1975, to Hiranyagarbha. Those young boys are living as true brahmacharis. Brahmachari's business is to study and then to go and make some collection on behalf of the guru. This is very good engagement for them. Hiranyagarbha was a Gurukula teacher. 75 to Gargamuni Swami. It is the duty of the male members to be very steady and cautious. This can be done by regularly chanting like Haridas Thakur did. Madhavisa, 1975. If one can remain brahmachari, that is best. Finish this life and go back to Godhead. This is the basic idea of Krishna consciousness movement. So you decide. To Dr. Suresh Chandra in 76. Of course, marriage is not prohibited in devotional service. But if one can remain brahmachari in unmarried life, it is a great facility. So, some words from Prabhupada. As I said, I did a little research about how a brahmachari ashram is being promoted and executed at various places around ISKCON today. certain places come to mind immediately, but I think they're certainly not the only places. The Chaupati Temple in Mumbai, a few years ago they put out there was a film actually called A Simple Life, and it was about Brahmachari life in the ashram there at the Chaupati Temple. But in their literature online that talks about their Brahmachari training, they mention five S words that describe their Brahmachari training program. Of course, one of the first things about entrance into this program at Chaupati is that if you're going to enter that program as a Brahmachari, you can never say no when any service is offered. As soon as they offer some prabhu, can you do, if you say no, you're out. You can't say no to any service in the ashram there. And they have a large Brahmachari ashram. And they do a number of programs to promote the Brahmachari ashram. And I think that's what we'll see as we go through these examples from around the ISKCON world, is that when many of the older devotees joined, I mean, you joined and you just were like a Brahmachari, you know. When you got your clothes, they were Brahmachari clothes. But I think that the wisdom of the years passing has shown that there has to be some endeavor to cultivate the ashram, and that's what we'll see when we look around the world, that the different attempts have been made to cultivate the ashram and not just assume that everyone is can join or be part of the Brahmachari ashram. So in Chaupati, they have five S's. First one is sadhana. So what does sadhana have to do with the Brahmachari ashram? Anybody can say, but not necessarily you guys, everybody. But if you want to contribute, that's good too. Okay, Adidev, yeah. Regulation. A regulated spiritual activity has to be part of a Brahmachari life. And that would mean things like rising early, attending Mangalarti, chanting japa, everything we do in our morning program. Adikarjapu, you want to add something? Austerity, yes. Sadhana, the spiritual practice of a brahmachari does include austerity, yes. Yeah. Sadhana increases our determination, yes. Yes, very good. Shamasana.
It allows us to feel the internal energy of the Lord to get a higher taste.
Okay, getting a higher taste by being in the internal energy of the Lord, yes?
You're engaged. You're constantly engaged.
Yeah, very good. Very good point. You're constantly engaged. Otherwise, but it probably say the mind is the devil's workshop. And if you're not engaged, then not. So sadhana, regulated spiritual practice is important. Thank you. Yes?
The gift of conviction and determination is synonymous to the endeavor. So the goal is to let you Krishna friend and all the unnecessary things go away. The sadhana is
okay, sadhana fixes us on a goal and doesn't allow our mind to waver. Very good, thank you. Raghatmika?
It enriches our relationship with Krishna.
Okay. Sadhana enriches our relationship with Krishna and Guru. Good. So we can see how the first element, and I think because Brahmachari life is like the first ashram that one enters as once a young person, there are foundations there that are valuable for all ashrams and at all ages of life. And so I think we see these things, many of the things that people have said here are equally applicable to grihasthas, vanaprasthas, sannyasis, everybody. So we learn these things in a Brahmachari ashram, so sadhana is very important in that regard. Next S word in Chaupati, seva, service. As I read the quotes from Prabhupada, he indicated some services that brahmacharis would take, introducing new people to Krishna consciousness, distribution of literatures, Prabhupada's books. What other kinds of seva or service are there? Yes. Okay, seva gives, it's a necessary element in receiving transcendental knowledge. What is the verse in Bhagavad Gita? Sevaya. Seva. Yes, that's how you, to get knowledge, you have to approach a spiritual master with service, not just questions, but service and inquiries. So seva. Anything else on seva? Yes.
There's Dham Seva and Murti Seva and Vaishnav Seva and Prasad Seva.
Yes, the different kinds of Seva, very important. Dham Seva, Murti Seva, worshipping the deity. In our community here, I think the deity Seva is primarily taken by grihasthas, and that's recommended in the grihastha ashram to be engaged in deity worship. But in India, you know, most of the deity seva there is done by brahmacharis, and so that can be quite extensive. And of course, we have the example of the two brahmachari brothers, twin brothers in Mayapur, Pankajangri and Jananivas, brahmacharis that have served there for 40 years almost, 45 years, exemplary service, seva there for brahmacharis. So yes. Okay, swadhyaya. Yes, Krishna Kripa. Study. One's own individual study. That's also important in brahmachari life. Of course, there are classes, and now we've, through Janmastami and other devotees' work, there are different institutes where we can go and study for periods of time, take Bhakti Shastri or other types of courses. But individual study is something that's particularly characteristic of a brahmachari life. I mean, what are you free from? We read those quotes from Prabhupada. You're free from the burdens of this and that. So what do you? So you're free from that. What do you do? You need to cultivate, and so your own personal study is important. I just saw a thing yesterday by Vaisheshika Prabhu advocating the wonderful program. He has a chapter a day. These are kind of things that he personally did as a brahmachari. And so he has the cultivation, and now he sees the benefit, so he's passing it to others. So our own individual study is particularly important. Next, S word, Sangha. Sangha of who? Association with who? With sadhus, with guru, with Vaishnavas. Particularly, brahmacharis seek out association of sannyasis, and in their association, there's a natural subordinate superior relationship that benefits and cultivates the brahmachari's steadiness and determination in life. I know that in my own brahmachari experience, in the 70s, there were a lot of sannyasis who led parties of brahmacharis in India and in the West as well. Prabhupada in India, there was Garga Muni who had a bus, he had like these vans he brought from Europe, drove them across the land all the way from Europe to India, and brahmacharis would travel with sannyasis there, and we did the same thing here in the United States at least, with a sannyasi leader of our traveling party. And of course there's the famous Radha Damodar party led by sannyasis. And so sangha, particularly advanced devotees. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean that sangha is just with sannyasis. You can take sangha with any advanced devotees, be they grihastha, vanaprastha, whatever. So seeking out good association. And finally, sadachar. Sadachar meaning?
Example.
Yeah, example. Somebody said it back there. Good behavior. Good behavior. Necessary for brahmachari to have good behavior. And of course, that means, if we look, what is good behavior? How do you execute it? Well, it means control of the senses, not giving in to the forces of lust, anger, greed. These kind of things, lust, anger, greed, they're the gates to hell, as described in Bhagavad Gita. And they will prevent us from having proper sadhachara behavior. So this sadhachara we may touch back on a little later, because it has some implications for brahmachari life. Okay, so that's Chaupati. They emphasize those five things in characterizing their brahmachari program. Bhaktivedanta Manor. I was at the Bhaktivedanta Manor several years ago now, and they were actually building a brahmachari ashram on the top floor of the manor there. And they built, what were they building? They built like a library, reading room there. Have you been there? Have you been in the ashram there, Krishna? I mean, they specifically are building an ashram, designing it to facilitate the brahmachari, commitment to brahmachari life of their devotees. And so they have different programs also designed. They have, well, I'll just read here. It says, having completed the basic residential courses, one is offered an opportunity to become a resident at Bhaktivedanta Manor for 1 year. So there's a trial period, which I think is also important, because you can't mix in people that aren't serious with people that are serious and expect to have a good result. If you have people that are loose in the ashram, brahmachari ashram, it affects everybody. Of course, strength affects everybody as well. But so therefore, they have this weeding out process. First, there's a residential course, and then you can get the opportunity. And what do they do there? A mentor will oversee your stay, carefully chalking out a tailor-made program which will inspire, educate, challenge, and spiritually develop you. Your service will be focused in a particular area of the project, such as university outreach, congregational development, temple maintenance, goshala, etc. Time will also be allotted for personal study according to one's inspiration and interest. And they have an annual brahmachari retreat. So they really make an effort to cultivate. Bhakti Center in New York. Now, the Bhakti Center in New York, the information I have here I'm going to give you is for example, because I think they've changed a little bit now from a few years ago there. So at the Bhakti Center, I know they've changed, because these are quotes from Vasudev Prabhu. He's married now. So just another little joke, if you will. We were brahmacharis, but when you got married, people would say to you, oh, you're waving the white flag. You know, surrender. When people surrender, they wave a white flag. They're surrendering on the battlefield. So changing from saffron to white, you know, you're waving the white flag, giving up, surrendering. But anyway, that's just ISKCON lore. Here's what they did in the Bhakti Center. Each day will be a blend of classes and practical application under the guidance of experienced brahmachari renunciates. There will be regular workshops on chanting japa, puja, or worship, and playing musical instruments. Attendees will learn the basics of cooking, book distribution, Harinam Sankirtan and public chanting, and various methods for systematic personal study of Srila Prabhupada's books. So I thought this was interesting because it mixes in things like playing musical instruments, cooking, allowing the brahmachari to develop in a number of different ways and not just sort of pigeonholing that ashram in one particular way. And what he mentions here is that sometimes brahmacharis are pigeonholed because they're seen as a cheap workforce as opposed to something to be invested in, but something to sort of almost exploit in a cheap, get cheap labor in a way. So again, the whole idea is how to cultivate and culture, create a culture of brahmacharya and things. So he concludes, living in an ashram, whether for 2 months, 2 years, the rest of your life is highly beneficial. It lays a very strong foundation for your personal practice in Krishna consciousness and an understanding of its philosophy, culture that stays with you throughout your life. And so that's the objective of that. Now, there is an aspect, and it's mentioned in the verses here today, about controlling sex desire and involvement with sex life in general. And obviously this is a part of brahmacharya as well. We have our sannyasi in our movement, Bhakti Vikas Swami, who is very actively in promoting the brahmacharya ashram. He has a book called Brahmacharya and Krishna Consciousness. And there are 50 chapters in that book. 50 chapters all dealing with different things, rules and regulations, guides, how brahmacharis should act in interaction with different people, including children, ladies who are not devotees, ladies who are devotees, like that. And so I just want to read something from that angle of things, brahmacharya and sex life. So Bhakti Vikas Swami says that the meaning of brahmacharya, he said basically brahmacharya means celibacy. And the vow, he quotes from the Yajnavalkya Smriti, which is a Dharma Shastra, the vow of brahmacharya is meant to help one completely abstain from sex indulgence in work, words, and mind at all times, under all circumstances, in all places. And then he quotes Sridhar Swami's commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam about 8 aspects of brahmacharya. And I'm going to read the 8, but the purpose of me reading these 8 is also to evoke from you some discussion, because quite often brahmacharya life can be portrayed or maybe interpreted to mean demeaning to women, or worse in one's relationship and attitude about women. And so what I'd like to hear from you is, if you think these 8 principles of brahmacharya equate evolve into disrespect for women in any kind of way, or whether they're just principles that brahmacharya apply to their lives. Is that clear? Okay, the 8 are: one, should not, 1, think about women; 2, speak about sex life; 3, dally with women; 4, look lustfully at women; 5, talk intimately with women; 6, decide to engage in sexual intercourse; 7, endeavor for sex life; 8, engage in sex life. So do those principles of brahmacharya add up to mistreatment, denigrating, abusing women. Kaliapani.
It depends completely on the maturity of the practitioner. That's a warning. These things serve as a warning. Our philosophy is that boy is good and girl is good, but there's something between the two which arises by combination of the two, which is not good. So that's down to the interpretation of the practitioner.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Other comments anyone has? Pandavan?
Defines the soul placing himself in the center of enjoyment, then there is a problem. But seeing the person in a female body and respecting that person as a soul servant of Krishna, this does not conflict.
Mm-hmm.
So I find like self-centeredness is very much involved in this.
Okay. All right, thank you. Yes. Yes. Oops, shot.
I'm in a woman's body, and maybe I see things a little differently. As I get older, it's easier to understand that the Brahmachari ashram is very important, and it's easier to see the men more as sons, and you want to help them. So it gets easier as I get older to want to help, and I don't see them, you know, I don't want to talk unnecessarily to a brahmachari or a male, and I don't want to encourage any more than it's necessary if you have to say something. So I find as I get older and more mature in my spiritual life, I want to protect and not, exploit the situation. From
Dashama
Moon's point of view,
yes,
I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Thank you. Yes, well. Keisha, here.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. I like, my first thought was what Kalyapani Prabhu said about maturity, but I was also thinking about respect. Respect has to be there. When I first decided to practice the brahmachari, I remember I was talking with Kalakanta Prabhu, and he basically was saying, so you know, you don't want to become a fanatical brahmachari and make offenses and disrespect, you know, women, but you know, to, you know, respectfully, you know, in a mood of service, you know, we don't speak to unnecessarily, only for service, you know, as little as possible, like that. But that's like the whole foundation is respect. It's like, she's my mother, you know, but we have some rules to follow like that for both of our benefits. And also the void, like I notice over the years when one brahmachari, for example, gets fanatical, say, oh, they're... it's all Maya, this and this and that, and it'll like be really disrespectful. I find he gets married pretty quick, you know. He goes from one end of the spectrum all the way to the other end of the spectrum, and you know, time, place, and circumstance is a very important thing to understand too. You know, sometimes you're at a temple that's you know, you have both serving hand in hand, so you have to learn how to balance it. For us, it's kind of easy because we just travel all the time, and you know, we don't see the same person, you know, over and over again. So it's a little different. So you know, we have very little dealings as it is, except for on book distribution. But even then, we limit how much we speak with the opposite sex. But there's always that respect, like we're trained to respect them, but not like get entangled in too much conversation. Like if you're distributing a book, you don't just start talking about, you know, random things. You know, it's just like, okay, there's the book, you know, I hope you enjoy it, like that. So yeah, that's my whole point is respect.
Mm-hmm. Good, thank you. Yeah. So much appreciated. So nice to
It's kind of, Vajananda kind of brought the point up, but to kind of succinctly say that when a brahmachari is sexually agitated, then that's when the negativity usually comes out. What is it, that expression that attraction is the flip side of a repulsion? So, you know, that disrespectful and almost hateful mentality is because there's so much desire and one's just annoyed by it, you know, so it just kind of goes after it and, you know, try to boot it away, but really the purification needs to take place within to overcome that.
Mother got my food.
It seems that these 8 points also highlight the progression of the process of from thinking, feeling, willing, and acting. So it calls attention to the need to see, you know, the chemistry between butter and fire, and how one thing leads to another in that whole interaction with the opposite sex or sex desire.
That's good. Thank you. Just one thing that I want to mention is that I think ISKCON is unique in a number of ways. And during Prabhupada's time, we had brahmachari and brahmacharini ashrams where same kind of strictures about relation with the opposite sex were applicable. In one organization that I work with, I don't really work with them, but I use their materials in my law practice in terms of sponsoring devotees to come from foreign countries to the Americas. There's an organization called the Hindu America Foundation or something like that, and they put out definitions of different spiritual positions or jobs that you find in Hinduism. And for the first time I saw, they used this term brahmacharini, just like we use. I think they must have gotten it from ISKCON, because I don't think that brahmacharini is there in the Vedic scriptures anywhere. But they had that brahmacharis or brahmacharinis, celibate student, and it was a classification of job duties they normally do. And so it's just sort of an interesting effect that ISKCON has had, because a lot of this Krishna consciousness movement was built on the hard labor of both men and women, you know, in the brahmachari or brahmacharini ashram, working selflessly for Srila Prabhupada in the 70s. So there should be no disrespect for women. I mean, it's not part of the teachings of brahmacharya, and it's not representative of the history of how this movement has developed. You want to say? Okay, question. No, that's all.
Okay, my question is, as we see the... Good, okay. As we see the traditional Vedic brahmachari has evolved over the years to what it is now, obviously. So I was wondering, when Srila Prabhupada started to initiate the brahmachari ashram, how did that evolve? Like, I'm sure you've seen over the years of how it evolved to what it is now. Have you seen how Prabhupada used time, place, and circumstance to implement the brahmachari and brahmacharini ashram based on the need and the consciousness of the current, I guess, when he, where it was current when he came to America the current situation, mm-hmm. and like that. Maybe you have some insight on this. And
well, there's a lot on that, and that's kind of why I went to this book, Shiksamrita, The Quotes of Prabhupada. If you have the opportunity to look at this book and go to the section, it begins at page 801, it's of the first volume. There are letters, because mainly through letters Prabhupada taught this, and so that's why I was reading his quotes from different letters. So he established a brahmacharya ashram. Everyone just sort of came in, but then the principles were instructed in letters to individuals, and it was developed like that. So probably rather than try to give you more developed answer, I can let you read this. Okay. I had a couple questions over here. Madhamati.
Since you were saying a couple of funny things, I just wanted to mention one funny thing, was that I know this brahmachari. This was in the 80s, and you know, people had, you know, to change the ashram, like you said, the surrender, the white flag. So it was this brahmachari who was going to get married, and so he was associating, but he kept his brahmachari cloth till the day he got married. And guess who that? And guess who that was? The speaker.
Hold on, Adhikartha, I'm coming to you.
I'm very grateful to ISKCON for the Brahmacharini training. And like you said, it was new. Prabhupada introduced that because the association of men and women, he had to think of some way to keep them together. So, but my training in the Brahmacharini ashram is so strong. I mean, I hope it lasts me lifetimes. But we did the same thing a brahmachari was supposed to do. Got up early, went to the program, went on Sankirtan, you know, collected for the temple. And study, we had to read so many hours a day. And it was very good training, excellent training. Whether it was for a year or 2 years, I did it for many years, so I'm very grateful. And it still has a tremendous effect on my present life. And I also want to say thank you to Lakshmimoni and Adhikuti for trying to do the same thing for our daughters. And I've seen in my own daughter that she loves to read, and especially she loves Sanskrit. And I know she got it from the ashram. And I know it was it was very difficult for Lakshmimoni and Akuti to do that and travel with the women, the devotees, female devotees all over. But I think they've done a tremendous job. And as my daughter grows older, I see that so many things manifest in her that she learned in the ashram. And I know from my own personal life that that's true. Lots of the things I did in Brahmacharini ashram is, you know, has an effect on me today. Mm. So I really want to say thank you to Lakshmimoni and Akuti for doing that job.
Okay. So Adhikartha and Yamaraj left. I'm going to go to him at the end. Adhikartha. Oh, Ekadasi? Go ahead. Okay.
Thinking that all of the principles that you mentioned, like the five S's and even the eight from Bhakti Vikash Maharaj, everything, if one wants to be serious, they apply to everyone. And, you know, everyone has to study, we all have to do service, we all have to, all those things. Even if a person is married, you know, they can't, well, ideally, you could be married, but still you're not supposed to engage just freely. So in that way, you know, everything applies to everyone if one wants to be serious.
Mm. Thank you. Good point. Adhikartha and Krishna people will end with that.
An interesting example of a really good brahmachari was Shiva Ramaswamy. When he joined ISKCON, he was married, and he took his wife back to her parents because he wanted to be a brahmachari. And then when he was the temple president in Chicago, he was a brahmachari. He wasn't yet a sannyasi. And he used to buy the Sankirtan girls' saris to enthuse them to go on Sankirtan. And he's, you know, he's obviously been a sannyasi all these years. Another point is that sometimes a grihastha can hate his wife because he feels that she's entangled him in, you know, family life because of the sex desire. And I think that's been one of the problems that in marriage, that sometimes the husband hates the wife because he has this mentality of, it's, you know, the sex desire is your fault when it's really his fault.
Mm. John Mastami, I think you had the last thing. Oh, Krishna Kripa had the last.
So many wonderful points by everyone here. It's very inspiring to listen to. It seems very extreme how much the brahmachari has to be disassociated from women, and this verse sort of reminds me why that is part of the Vedic culture. The attraction between male and female is the basic principle of material existence. On the basis of that misconception, which ties together the hearts of the male and female, one becomes attracted to his body, home, property, children, and relatives and wealth. In this way, one increases life's illusions and thinks in terms of I and mine. So that's why it's, you know, so much, you know, because it's the cause of our material existence. Another thing is about how to properly deal with the ladies. There's this amazing quote by the ultimate brahmachari, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and I want to read that because it's like amazing, actually. Please perceive everything of this world as ingredients for serving Krishna, for all is actually meant for Krishna's service. View the whole race of women as beloved consorts of Lord Krishna, and help them to constantly engage in his service. Do not consider them for your sense of gratification or sense of enjoyment. They are to be enjoyed by Krishna, never by the minute jiva. And you're talking about the manor brahmacharis. I went to one of their ceremonies. One of their new members was going to put on saffron, and they had these different swamis speak. Bhakti Rasamrita Swami, Dayananda Swami, and Bhakti Prabhava Swami. And they all said things that some have been mentioned, but some haven't been mentioned, and I was wondering if I could just say a few of those things. That
except everyone here.
I just say the most, I thought that, literally, brahmachari means one who lives in relationship with spiritual truth. It comes from two words, brahman, truth, spirit, and achara, behavior. So,
can you just speak closer?
Hmm? Oh, yeah. So this is from Bhakti Rasamrita Swami. Tolerance is very important in brahmachari life, especially for living in an ashram. It is necessary for survival as a brahmachari. Brahmacharya should not get angry. Why did he say that to me? That is not living in relationship with the spiritual truth. Some divine qualities are cultivated in specific ashrams, but simplicity is important for all ashrams. And I think that's a key point of brahmacharya. You learn simplicity, and that simplicity can help you the whole rest of your life. Wearing saffron helps us to act properly. One will think twice about doing something not appropriate for a spiritual aspirant. And these are from Dayananda Swami. Lord Chaitanya said that renunciation is a sustaining principle in the life of his devotees. In brahmacharya life, we learn this renunciation. The brahmacharya is a servant of the other ashrams, and the brahmacharya is dependent dependent on the other ashramist. We are only renunciates because of the support of the other ashrams, and remembering this can keep us from becoming proud. If we can understand the great opportunity we have as brahmacharis, we can be grateful, and that will help us, that will help keep us steady. And Bhakti Prabhava Swami, the brahmacharya lives only to serve the spiritual master. Whatever it takes, the brahmacharya acts for the spiritual master. The spiritual master, relationship between this brahmacharya and the spiritual master is one of love. So that's what this exalted Swami said about brahmacharya.
So we'll end there. Kantarashima Bhagavatam.